journey of man begin from the ground, created to bring glory to God, a purpose profound. This man walked with God until he chose his own way. He was sentenced to die and return to the dust from where he was made. This is not the end. God's mercy stepped in. He sent his son who willingly died to pray for our sin. Now love made a way to redeem and restore a relationship grand between God and man through Jesus the door. I don't know why I'm so nervous. From dust to glory, a purpose by his power, oh, to be just like him. An unbelievable story, and yet it's so real. From dust to glory, another promise. Jesus returns and life's journey complete. This frail mortal frame will be totally changed to immortality, trading all this world holds, leaving us far behind. Forever I'll bring glory to God in a body glorified. From dust to glory, a purpose revealed, transformed by his power. Oh, to be just like him. Unbelievable story, and yet it's so real. From dust to glory, another promise fulfilled. I'm sorry, y'all, I got nervous at the beginning.
Along with the message this morning. Yeah, sure does. And we mutilated my mic though. All right, we're going to get it straight here in a minute. All right, be turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I appreciate Faye going back there and checking on me. Did y'all see her go up? Yeah, she's, I tell you what, we're checking on each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50. We're in a four-part series on the believer's future body. Remember, we talked about chapter 15. Paul proves the resurrection of Christ because there were some false teachers at Corinth that says the believers don't have a bodily resurrection. And Paul said if they don't, then Jesus didn't either. But he did, and because of that, we talked about when are the dead raised, why are the dead raised, and how are the dead raised. Last week, we looked at particularly how this body is going to be made different. I mean, today we're going to have the second part of that. How are the dead raised? Or call it, we shall all be changed. In verses 50 through 55, 50 through 58. So we're going to look at today the believer's change and the believer's victory as we close out this little topical study on the believer's future body. I'm going to do something unique starting next Sunday night. Matthew's going to be in the morning, but I'm going to teach you how to read your Bible. Okay? How to read your Bible. We can all read, right? But sometimes we don't read it correctly. So we're going to begin that next Sunday night, Lord willing. I think it's open for that. I will find out. But the believer's change and the believer's victory. Let's look at our text this morning. This is Paul's version of the rapture. He also gave it to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And today he's focusing on what the church at Corinth is having to be taught because they denied the bodily resurrection of the believer. And so it's a little different slant than that of 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians is all about the second coming of Christ. It's all about the rapture. But we're going to look at that tonight. And also, by the way, John 14, verse 3 is a rapture passage. Those are the three big ones in the New Testament. Let's begin reading in verse 50. He says this, now this I say, after he's talked about how this change is going to take place, he talks about the event. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that's the trump for the church age. Now, it's not the last trump in the book of Revelation. Church doesn't go through the tribulation. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to a pass the saying that is written. Now I want to start right there. This is one of the hymns we're going to sing at the rapture. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we get an amen right there? I want to teach y'all a four-letter word. Y'all ready? A-M-E-N. It means it is true, right? Amen. All right. Y'all just follow Marcus's lead over here, and y'all follow Inez's lead over here, okay? All right. Amen. That's what we're going to sing, folks, at the rapture, this little hymn right here. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And because of all of that, because of the believer's bodily resurrection, he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's why we do what we do, because of the bodily resurrection of the believer, right? Yeah. Made possible by his bodily resurrection. Father, I pray this morning as we open this text, we pray that you open our hearts to the truths therein. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's look at it. The believer's change in verses 51 and 53. Note verse 51. He says this. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. Every child of God alive or asleep in Jesus. Remember, that's the metaphor Paul used for death, asleep in Jesus. And whether we're alive or whether we're in heaven, we are in Jesus, right? We are in Christ. Some of us, some of our loved ones have gone on, they're asleep in Christ, right? They're in heaven. Church is made up of people in heaven as well. And we who are alive and remain, we're going to be changed as well at the rapture of the church. Now, some will be resurrected and others will be translated, but we're all going to be changed. If the rapture were to take place right now, our loved ones and all the church ever since Pentecost that knows the Lord will go up first to meet the Lord in the air, and then we're going to go up. We're going to be changed as we're going up, right? The Democrats are promising us a radical transformation, a change in America. But this is the one we're looking for right here, amen? We're looking for this one here. And we're going to be changed. What does that word changed mean? In the Greek, it means to make different. To make different. We're going to be given that body that was promised us at our salvation. Remember, inwardly, the inner man was changed. We're transformed or changed or regenerated. New creations in Christ at salvation. But our bodies are still unredeemed. Our bodies is what causes us to sin sometimes. We live in these unredeemed bodies. But one day, not only because we've had this change inwardly, we're going to have this change outwardly, and we're going up in a new, incorruptible, immortal body. Amen? One day, we're going to be with him. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me remind you what he said to the church at Thessalonica. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, see, you got to believe the gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, this is not for you. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's no such thing as soul sleep. God's going to bring our loved ones, their spirit and the soul, and their bodies are going up. They're going to be come together. They're going to meet, and they're going to be changed in the air into a body that Paul has talked about here in 1 Corinthians 15. When your loved one died, and when you die, your soul and spirit do not remain in the grave until the resurrection. They go home to be with the Lord, right? And so we don't believe in soul sleep like the cults do. And he says this, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I told you before, that does not mean Baptists. Baptists are not the dead in Christ, right? That's talking about people who have died and gone to heaven, right? Who know Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's that word where we get the word rapture from. Caught up, seized, harpazo. We're snatched out of here, right? And we go home to be with the Lord. We meet him in the clouds. At the rapture, he comes for his church. We meet him in the clouds. At the second coming after the tribulation, he comes and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, right? And we come with him. And then he goes on to say, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Yes, we're going to have a reunion, but folks, we're going to see Jesus. That's the big thing about heaven. You see the news people, they say three things you ought to know. I'm telling you there's one thing you ought to know. You're going to see Jesus, right, when we get to heaven. Now, what does this mean here? There's three M words here in verse 51, 52, and 53 that I want to bring out to you this morning. It's the word must, first of all, in verse 53. Notice that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The flesh and blood cannot go to heaven. The word must is in the Greek an emphatic word. It means something that is absolutely necessary. You cannot go to heaven unless you shed this old body. Right? I don't know many people here that want to keep this body and go to heaven, right? I don't know many people like that. They're vain and their glory and they're arrogant if they want to go with this body because, no, there's going to be a much improved body when we get to heaven, right? And he says it's impossible for these earthly natural bodies to go to heaven. Note what Paul said in verse 50. Again, this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Our earthly bodies are not made for heaven. They're made for earth. Now, if you were to go to heaven, you would absolutely, in this body, you would be absolutely consumed because this body is not made for heaven. And, birthdays, you only have birthdays on earth, right? There's nobody in heaven now having a birthday. They live in eternity. They're in the new time dimension, right? I just thought I'd get there because I see what I see on Facebook, right? We don't give them happy birthday, and they're in heaven. They have no more birthdays, right? That thing is over with. Flesh and blood speaks of our mortal body. These bodies are perishable. You can't take these perishable to where everything else is imperishable. Someone said that trying to take these bodies to heaven would be like entering a mutt in a dog show, right? How many of you got a Heinz 51 dog? You have? Okay. You wouldn't enter him in one of those full-bred dog shows that are really popular, would you, right? You can't do it, can you? Taking a Model T to a car show, I mean to a I forgot my illustration. Anyway, let's go on. Someone said that these bodies of heaven would be like entering a mutt in a dog show. I thought that was good anyway. But we're changed in the inner man when we're born again, and our body will be changed at the resurrection. This is the change Paul is talking about. We're going to be made something different, but yet we're going to be recognizable. I'll say, there's old Jack. Jack, how you doing? He said, I'm just doing glorious, right? Right? I said, where's Margene? She's at the dentist, you know? No, there's no more dentist in heaven, right? There's no more dentists, no more doctors, no more. There are going to be very few lawyers, Wanda. I hate to tell you that. No politicians, right? Especially of one sort, and I ain't going to tell you who they are. They're not going to be there. Only those that have been washed in the blood of Christ, have repented of their sins and placed their faith in the work of Christ on Calvary alone, right? So we're changed in the inner man when we're born again, and our body will be changed at the resurrection, a new body and a new nature in a new place. The new nature makes the new body possible. Some call this redemption of the inner man, redemption of the outer man. Paul did that in 2 Corinthians 5. So not only do we see the word must, but we note secondly also the word mystery. Look in verse 51, we see that word mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The word mystery is used in Scripture to speak of something or truth that the human mind can't discover unaided, or a mystery that is concealed in the Old Testament but revealed in the New Testament. Job spoke of it. He says, "In my flesh shall see God," in Job 19:26. This wonderful truth reaches its fruition in 2 Timothy 1:10. Jesus have brought forth life and immortality to the light through the gospel. Job 14:14 says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. My change. Now, I could harbor on that word of my appointed time, but you would say, well, why don't you get in the airplane? Because our days are appointed, right? All right, remember that word, four-letter word I taught you? Amen. Amen, right? Our days are appointed, right? And Brother Frank, that doesn't mean I'm going to get in an airplane tomorrow, right? Because when my appointed time comes, I'm not going to go miles and miles till I go kaploop on the ground, right? I'm not going to happen that way. If I don't get in a plane, it ain't going to happen that way. So don't knock me out and put me in a cargo, right? So not only do we see the word must and the word mystery, but note the word moment. Verse 52, this is probably one of the most misunderstood things in the Bible as far as the rapture goes. Notice what he says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, not the blinking of an eye, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of the church age, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. That promise changed in Romans 8 of a new body. Right? So that word moment, the word moment means in a fraction of a moment or time, indivisible moment, if you will. It's where we get our word atom, right? A-T-O-M. Paul tells us what it would be like. It would be speedily and it would be silently in the twinkling of an eye. Not the blinking of an eye, a twinkling of an eye. Somebody, y'all remember I taught you what the twinkling of an eye means? It means the time it takes light to hit the iris of your eye. It's just a twinkle, right? Not the blinking of an eye. It's even faster than that. And we're going to be in heaven. And the question is often asked, will unbelievers see or hear us leaving? Well, they don't want to see or hear us now, right? The rapture's not for them. The rapture's for the church. God's not coming for them. They're not going to be raised until the great white throne at the end of the millennium to stand before him and be cast into the lake of fire. I personally believe only believers will hear the shout, the voice, and the trumpet, right? I remember what Adrian Rogers used to say at the rapture, like a magnet would pick up things that are like the magnet, right? When God comes again, he's going to pick up his own, right? And we're coming out of the grave. We have God's nature in us. He's not going to miss any cemetery, no matter if you get buried on the far side of Pavo or wherever it is. He's not going to miss you. If you're a believer, he's coming there with the shout, the trumpet, the sound of the voice of the angel. Christ is going to say, church, come forth. And everybody that is a believer that is in the ground is coming out, right? And we're going home to be with him. So not only do we see the believers change in a moment, must, and the word mystery, but we also see the believers' victory. Boy, how sweet that would be Tuesday night or the next week or the next month when you get to turn into your TV whenever they get settled with all the cheating and everything and hear them, the people on CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, ABC, NBC, the Fox Network, not Fox News, and hear them say their reaction when they pronounce Donald Trump the President of the United States. Boy, that'd be great, won't it? But boy, what a great victory we're going to have when Christ says, come forth. Amen? And we go home to be with him. Look in verse 54 through 58. He says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written. Then, see? So this saying is not for now. It's for, yes, we have victory over death, right? It's not actualized yet until the rapture. But this is when he's going to say what? Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, when I see people in the church, they're hot and cold, they're in and out. They're off on their own. There's no stability. They don't fully understand the resurrection. Amen? That's what this text says. Thank you. You learned a new word today, Wendell, right? Amen? All right, okay. Victory came when Jesus rose from the dead, but victory is actualized when the change takes place. Note the words when and then there in verse 54. And what Paul does here is quotes two Old Testament passages. He quotes Hosea 13:14 and Isaiah 25:8 and shows the joy of the reality of the resurrection. So Paul pictures death as a terrible enemy with a poisonous sting. The fear of death has haunted men throughout the ages, right? Everybody's doing whatever it takes not to die, right? And we spend our lives not denying it and not facing it. But y'all know what I believe. I don't believe you can fully live for Christ until you're ready to go home to be with him, right? The law condemned all sinners because of our inability to keep it. Christ kept it for us, and so therefore we can shout in verse 55, right? In verses 54 through 57 again, the word victory appears three times. We have victory at salvation. Would you not agree with that? Remember the new word? Amen. Amen. We have victory on our deathbed. We think all is hopeless. We think all is hopeless. The man's on the bed. Oh, it don't look too good for him. It's never looked better if he's a believer, right? Did y'all hear what your pastor just said? Right? Folks, we often look at, oh, he's not doing too good. Going out of the hospital, somebody meets me, and when we could visit the hospital, how's brother so-and-so? You know, I don't say, yeah, you know, he's not doing too good. It don't look too good for him. I'll say, he's about to leave this old earthly body, and he's going to wait on his new one. Amen? Right? Do you get the perspective? Let's quit thinking like the world, right? It never got any better for us than when we go to heaven. Don't worry, I'm not trying to get a busload right now. But that's up to the Lord. But it's a glorious time. We have victory at the cemetery. We go to bury the dead body that's asleep in Jesus, spirit and souls with the Lord, right? It's a time of victory. And that's why we don't grieve as others who have no hope. So because of our change, do you get the flow of the passage? Because of our change and our victory at the resurrection, therefore, we know that our work of the Lord is not in vain because of the bodily resurrection. Amen? That's why I do what I do. That's why you do what you do, right? It's because we've got a bodily resurrection awaiting us. Not only have we been changed in the inward man, but our outward man is going to be changed and take on a glorious body like the Lord Jesus Christ. We can recognize each other. We can be seen. Remember, Jesus only ate in the post-resurrection because he wanted to prove to them that he was in his glorified body. It was him. We're going to walk through a door, right? You can do away with door handles in heaven, right? You just go right through the door, right? And you'll be able to be here and then be there just instantly by thought, right? Just like Jesus appeared and Jesus disappeared, right? We're going to have the same kind of body, right? Everybody's worshiping. What is it they worship today? Transformers or these heroes and these Superman and Spider-Man and whatever. What do they call them, you young guys? Transformers? Is that what they call them? Yeah. No, folks. Huh?
That's right.
Okay, y'all don't buy them no more? Okay, all right. Y'all pass that, right? You have to buy them now. Folks, listen, those are not our heroes. Our hero is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has transformed all of us through salvation, and we're going to be changed one day at the resurrection. It's not all in vain. No matter how dark this world gets, no matter who's in the White House, no matter what laws they come up with, the restrictions for us as a church, we're still the church, and we are still victorious. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, as we give this invitation in just a few moments, Lord, embed these truths in our heart. Lord, may they take seed in our heart, and may we live by them. Lord, we're not the defeated in this world. We are the victors. We are not the victims. We are the victors. We have hope, Lord, and thank you for calling out a church and planting your church on this earth and giving it life at Pentecost. And thank you for all the plans you have for us as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we don't wait to get to heaven to be the church. We need to be the church right now. We need to be different right now. We had a change when we got saved. No, we haven't had the bodily change yet. But Lord, we need to act and live like we're in heaven already. That's what Paul said. We're seated in the heavenlies. So Father, help us to live a victorious life. There's one here without Christ that does not have this hope this morning. As far as I know, as your pastor, everybody in this building has made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that it was real. But Lord, if not, I pray, Father, they come this morning and say, you know, I just made a decision. I just did something because I was coerced into it. But today the Lord has dealt with my heart, and I want to come to Jesus in repentance and faith. Whatever it might be, Father, only you can make a change in this time. And so we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
All right, if you would, get your hymnals, let's stand, turn to page 242.